I remember when I was a young kid growing up in the home that my mom was part of a ladies' group that was called the Mary Martha Circle. I looked on the internet, and it seems that there are some churches still today who have such a group. I don't know if Reinhardt ever had a ladies' group that was called the Mary Martha Circle, but it was a quite common name back in the early, the probably what I would say the late 70s and early 80s, for the ladies to have that kind of a church group. The women would gather for fellowship, they would eat together, they would study together, they would have service projects that they would work on. And I have to say to you, as a young kid, the name Mary and Martha didn't mean a whole lot to me. But as I have grown older and am more understanding of Scripture, I've concluded that it's quite an appropriate name for a ladies' group. Mary and Martha were two sisters in the gospel narratives that were all in with Jesus. And it would be my hope and prayer that as we learn about them today, as we hear about these two sisters who were all in, I would hope that we would be encouraged too, to be all in with Jesus. And if you're new here today, our theme for the whole year has been all of us all in all the time. The way I want to approach this message is to look at three different scenes from the Bible that give attention to these two sisters. The first scene is in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. I'd like to read that passage to you. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into their home, or into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Can't you just picture this scene in your mind, how Martha is fuming more and more as she is in the kitchen and she's the one doing all the work. And her sister Mary is sitting on her backside listening to Jesus, not helping her one little bit. And I can just hear her fuming. Why isn't my sister in here helping me with the kitchen? All she does is sit there, and I'm the one doing all of the work. And if you've seen this scene in The Chosen, it really is pretty funny. Because Martha, she is indeed upset, and she starts banging all of the pots and pans, making so much noise, trying to get Mary's attention. And the look on her face could just kill, but it didn't detract Mary from what she was doing. And Mary has her ears open to Jesus. She has her heart and her spirit open to Jesus. And when Jesus is finished teaching, Martha voices her complaint to Jesus about her sister. She should have been in the kitchen with me helping. But Jesus set her straight, reminding Martha that Mary was giving attention to the more important matter. Do we ever need to hear that message from Jesus? That some things are more important than other things? that worship and having our heart in tune with Jesus is more important than all of the distractions that are in this world. Parents, I want to encourage you to teach your kids what is most important by your own example. I'm sure that I could have done a lot of things better as a parent as my kids were growing up. But one thing that I did do that all three of my kids have commented to me about in their adult years is that they remember me early in the morning sitting on the couch reading my Bible and praying. And they have each one come to me at different times, and they have thanked me for that particular memory that they have of me. Now, I have to say, I wasn't doing it to be seen, but it is a reminder to me that our actions speak louder than our words. We model for our kids what is of utmost importance. So, parents, I want to encourage you to preach your sermon through your actions even more than through your words. Because that sermon that you preach through your actions, as you model for your kids what is most important in life, they're going to pick up on that kind of sermon more than what they will your words to them. One of my sweet memories as a kid is passing by my mom and dad's bedroom late one night. I had stayed up longer than what they had that particular evening. And as I passed by their bedroom, their door was cracked open, and I saw them both on their knees beside the bed praying. That was more than 50 years ago. And that picture is still in my mind today. Dear God, help us to understand what it means to have first things first, and help us to pass that along to our children. Let me ask you, are you taking the time to be with Jesus? Are you taking the time to listen to Him, to worship Him? Or are you so easily distracted by the world? Now, that's not to say what Martha was doing wasn't good. She was serving, and there is always a place for that. The church needs more servants, and you have been hearing us give emphasis to that of late. Part of Elijah's new job description is to help people, help you find your place of service in the Lord's church. We can never have too many servants in the Lord's church. And of course, our service goes far and beyond these church walls. We need people to be the hands and the feet of Jesus out there in the world. But hear me say this, before we do for Jesus, we need to know Him personally. Before we do for Jesus, we need to know Him personally. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, and He gave emphasis to this very point, many will come to me on that day and say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and perform many miracles? And I will then declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus wants to know us. And we, of course, need to know Him too. In order for us to know Him, we have to spend time with Him. We need to hang out with Him as Mary did, and listen to Him and pray to Him and be in His Word. And as that relationship is built with Him, then He will help us do for Him all to His glory. It's interesting too, as I was working on this sermon, I was sitting in the hospital room of Lester Waring. I know Ruth and Brenda are back there, and they didn't know I was going to talk about this, but that particular day, I spent most of the day in the hospital with them, because I knew he was very short on time. His breathing was shallow. He was expected to die at any moment. And so I went that day ready to stay for the day, and I took my computer with me, and I sat and worked on the sermon. And reality was hitting me upside the head in that scenario. For Lester, at that moment, all the distractions of the world were worth about that much. Right? I mean, all the distractions of the world were worth about that much. The only thing that mattered at that moment was the fact that he knew Jesus personally. And whenever Jesus called his name to come home, he was going to be ready. And that happened the next morning, early. Please hear me. The thing that matters most is, do we know him? Do we have a relationship with him? Are we taking the time to sit at his feet as Mary did and listen to him and worship him and grow deeper into him? That's the thing that matters most. Let me give to you a second scene of these two sisters from John chapter 11. Their brother Lazarus was sick. Turns out he was sick unto death, the scripture says. Mary and Martha, they wanted Jesus to come earlier than what he did. They wanted him there a few days earlier. But Jesus knew what he was doing. He had a plan to raise Lazarus from the dead. His sisters didn't know that. And so when they were told that Jesus was just out on the outskirts of their town, Martha went to Jesus first. And then Mary followed. And by this time, their brother Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Interestingly, as they got to Jesus, Martha first and then Mary, they both said the same thing to him. It's like they had rehearsed it together. They said, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." It struck me as I was preparing for this sermon that Mary and Martha were close enough with Jesus that they could be honest with him. They could say to him what they were feeling. There was nothing fake with these two sisters as they voiced their complaint to Jesus. And I think Jesus wants us to be honest with him as well. Respectful, yes, but honest. David was that way in the Psalms on multiple occasions. For instance, Psalms 10, verse 1, he writes this, "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Wow. I mean, that's David voicing a complaint against God Almighty. He's accusing God of abandoning him in times of trouble. I wonder, do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like, where is God? And God, where are you? I would imagine, if we're honest, probably all of us have been at that point one time or another. And you know what? If we feel that way, we should ask him. He's a big God. He's able to take our complaints against him. How about this from Psalms 13, verses 1 and 2, where David writes, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" Again, I think we've all been right where David's at in this text. We felt what he's feeling, and so we might as well register our complaint to God. We might as well be honest with him and tell him how we feel. He already knows how we feel anyway. He knows what we're thinking. We just need to be real with him. Do you know why I say this? It's the first step of healing. It's the first step of getting through our feelings of complaint against God. It's interesting in both of these Psalms where David is complaining to God, if you read the whole chapter, he comes back around to praising God and saying to God, "I trust you. I may not understand all that you're doing. I may not like all that you're doing, but I know that you are God and you are worthy of my trust and my praise." Brothers and sisters, the scripture is very clear. We need to remember that God's ways and thoughts are much higher than our ways and thoughts. And we're not going to understand everything that God is doing, and we're not going to like everything that God allows to happen. Isn't that right? There are things that happen to us. There are things that happen to those people that we love, and we absolutely don't like it. "I don't like the fact that my loved one is suffering with cancer," we might say. "I don't like the fact that my loved one has had back pain for how long, and how long, God, have I cried out to you? And it seems like you're doing nothing. It seems like you're sitting on your hands. I know you could heal her. But for some reason, you don't. Why? Why, God? Where are you?" I think God's okay with these kinds of questions. I think he's able to handle our complaints against him. And yet I hope, too, that we can come back all full circle around to where David was and say, "But I love you and I trust you and I know that you are God. And though I don't understand, God, I trust you. I trust you with my life. I trust you with the life of the one whom I love. And I praise you." That is real faith right there. Real faith is not demanding from God that everything go our way, but rather real faith is being honest with God, enough to voice our complaint to him, but to come back full circle and say to him, "God, I love you and I praise you, and though I may not understand what you are doing, I trust you no matter what." Lots of things will not go our way on this earth, but we must hold on to him because he is the only thing that is not topsy-turvy. He is rock solid, and we need him desperately. Oh, and by the way, God has a way of always making things right, whether it's in this lifetime or in the next lifetime. With Mary and Martha, after their complaint to Jesus, what's Jesus end up doing? He ends up raising their brother from the dead, which was far and beyond what they ever imagined would happen. And so let me give to you a third scene from Scripture of these two sisters, this time from John chapter 12. And again, Martha is serving, and Mary is giving her attention to Jesus. From John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. If you keep reading on in this text, you see that Jesus commended Mary for this act of worship. He said, wherever the gospel is preached, she will be remembered for this. Now, think about that. Here we are in 2025. We are more than 2,000 years past this event, and we're still talking about it. And here I am preaching on it. And what Jesus said was exactly true. There's so much that could be said about this. The fact that this was, did you know, this was nearly a year's wage for this perfume. And she takes it and she pours it out over the body of Jesus. It was a sacrifice of worship. And such a spirit of humility as she goes to her knees and she's wiping his feet with her hair. She was all in with her worship to Jesus. And I want to encourage you to be all in with your worship to Jesus. Not just here on a Sunday morning, though we need to be all in here on a Sunday morning as we give our worship to him, but we need to be all in through the week with our worship to Jesus. We need to not hold anything back from him. Give him our heart. Give him our mind. Give him our hands and our feet. Give him our voice. Give him our praise and our service. Give him our pocketbook and give him our whole being. He is worthy of our worship. Amen. And so may that be our goal. Let's go to God in prayer. Would you take a moment and pray between you and God? Help me to be all in with my worship to you, dear Jesus. God, thank you for this day, and thank you for this challenge from Scripture. I'm just asking, dear Father, that you would help us to be all in with our worship, to be all in with our whole being to you. And really, I think probably today is, as we talk about giving our complaints to God, it's a different concept maybe than what we often hear. But you know how we feel, and you know how we think, and you know the hardships that we are in, and our understanding is very limited. And so help us as we try to figure these things out, of being honest with you and telling you how we feel, but at the same time trusting you for the outcome and praising you no matter what. And the bottom line is, Lord, we need you desperately. If there's anyone here today that needs Jesus, we just ask for your Spirit to work in their lives and bring them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please.